It's time for the Chuck and Buck Show.
What?
Oh, you guys are crewing up?
Let's do this.
Girls, what y'all trying to do? 24 karat magic in the air. Head to toe so bare. Look out.
Well, good morning to you. You survived day one of March Madness. Congratulations. Maybe right now you're laying on the couch, waking up, because that's where you fell asleep last night, watching Syracuse and Baylor, and you've got caramel popcorn, you know, stuck to your sweaty abdomen. Maybe that's what's happening at your house right now. You are ready to tune in to us today and get a little analysis of day one. But more importantly, it's a big day here in Seattle because we will have analysis of game two. Huskies play today, and we have brought in the man that I wanted to... If I could have somebody fill in on the day the Huskies return to the NCAA tournament... Now, I don't know why he agreed to come in. That is a mystery to me. But if I could have one guy that I could choose to do this, it would be Dick Fain. What's up, man?
I thought you would say Softy. How you doing, man?
Oh, I can't
man?
Take him.
Wow, the memories of the alarm clock, the memories of the drive out the driveway today with it being pitch black out, the memories of driving by my mailbox, wondering if the Seattle Times delivery man made it by 5 o'clock in the morning, which was usually about a 50-60% shot in the 9 years I was doing the morning show. But actually, 6 a.m. is quite early for me back, because it was 5 a.m. start for a few years, and then it was 5:30 a.m. start for about 6 or 7 years. So. Yeah, six, no trouble. I can do this once. It's good to do a show with you.
I just want to say I apologize first and foremost.
Yeah, where's the Buck?
Yeah, he's out sick, and believe me, oh man, I have been trying to fight off whatever it is he brought in. If I take medicine, I usually can't sleep. So I haven't slept in 3 days.
Yeah,
and I am barely holding on here.
Okay, well we'll do it together. We only got 3 hours, right? Because we got basketball at 9 o'clock.
Oh, that's make it 3 hours.
That's no problem. Well, when the boss texted me, it was surprisingly early in a day for the "Can you come in tomorrow for a sick guy" text. Because normally you'd get that later on in the day. You know, they would determine. You know, whether I'm really sick, can I really not make it in the next day? This was like 11:30. I mean, Buck had gotten off the air like 90 minutes prior. And I was like, okay, wait a second here. But then you told me this morning before we went on the air that he'd been fighting this for like 2 or 3 days, and he'd been toughing it out.
He's been gone for the last couple of days.
Oh, he's been gone for a couple of days.
So he was here Monday, Tuesday, and then I had Kevin Shockey on Wednesday.
Did you really?
I had Hugh Millen yesterday.
Nice.
And now on the day the Huskies play, we bring in the big guns, Dick Fain.
Yeah, the big guns. Well, yeah, it's just such, you know, it's not right now. My life has shifted so much as far as what I do during the course of my days, because now through most of this show I sleep.
You can actually live?
I sleep during most of this show, but for the last, you know, hour and, you know, 2 hours of the show, I'm taking care of the kids. You know, I have become make breakfast. I have become make sure they turn the TV off at a certain time so they can get on their, you know, I make them do piano in the morning so they don't have to do it in the afternoon. That was my wife's request, because she's like, I can get them through the homework. I can do homework. She goes, I know nothing about piano. You played piano, so you make them do the piano. So I make them do piano, and then they got to do all, I get them off to the bus. And by the time they're at school and I get back, I can go, it's like 9:30, so it's like I don't get a chance to. I catch about the last half hour, 45 minutes of your show a lot of times.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to Slow Death.
Here we are.
That's what it is.
Here we are.
Well, we got a lot planned for you today, so let's find out what's on tap.
Chuck and Buck know what's brewing. This is What's on Tap.
Everybody's going to think I'm insane, but I know I'm right.
I'm kind of excited to hear it, and I'm kind of scared.
Poured by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach.
Manny, look at it. Pelican play. Come on, Pelican.
Seattle Sports Radio 950. KJR.
Might as well get some Pelican Brew for today's basketball action. You're going to be sitting on the couch all day long. Why not throw back a few craft brewskis?
Sure. Why not?
Well, let's get things started, and we're going to start with day two, because the Huskies are dancing for the first time since 2011 today at 3:50, and I got to imagine, man, for you, not just a Husky, diehard Husky fan, but also such a college basketball fan, man, you, this is a long time coming for you.
It's been weird because my life has been, as a Husky basketball fan, has been a life of long droughts and then, you know, like fireworks. So it's like I had this long drought when I was little, and then we had the Detlef Schrempf Christian Velp team that for a couple of years just popped.
Yep.
And then we had this long drought, and then we had Todd McCullough and Donald Watts and those guys that just popped, and then we had the long drought again, and then Romar was able to get that team through a couple of different times where we had about a 6-year run there where you felt like, hey, we are legitimately a top 20 basketball program in America, and then the drought again.
Yeah.
So hopefully with, and it was really encouraging to see Mike Hopkins get that contract extension yesterday. They, you know, and the timing of that, I think, by Jen Cohen was impeccable. And, you know, I have no reason to think that tournament play, I don't know how deep in tournament play, but tournament play is going to be the norm versus the exception for the next 7-8 years, as long as Mike Hopkins.
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about that actually at 6:20. So coming up this hour, just talk about Mike Hopkins and the road that they've traveled so far. And, man, what was stacked up against him when he took this job. By the way, we'll have the Husky Bracket Challenge, our final day for it. So we've been bringing back former Huskies to make their predictions on the tournament, their final four, also how far UW will go in the tournament. We'll have five more today. Jermaine Kearse, Isaiah Standback, Danielle Laurie, and Captain Husky.
Captain Husky.
Today to make their predictions on the upcoming tournament. Other day two attractions, well, I think there's probably one that comes to mind. Zion and Duke will take the court today. And he's pretty much must-watch basketball. If you're a basketball fan, you can't take your eyes off that guy.
You know, I talked to Doug Gottlieb on the air a few days ago, and I just asked him. I said, Doug, fill in the blank. I said, Zion is the most electric player since. And there was just a deafening silence. I'm like, Doug, are you there?
Did he say himself?
He did not say himself.
No, he really thinks highly of
Point guard abilities. He was a very good point guard at Oklahoma State, but he wasn't Zion, we'll put it that way. And he was like, well, that's a heck of a question. I go, is it Shaq? And he said, yeah, as far as a guy coming into college basketball and capturing the imagination of the country as a college basketball player, was probably Shaq at LSU. I mean, that's how far back we have to go. Now, obviously, the LeBrons and the Kobes and those guys, the Kevin Garnetts, never played there.
Yeah.
So they probably would have done, certainly LeBron would have done the same thing that Zion's doing, right? For 1 year, exactly. But it has been fun. And I guess when you have a guy like this, I'm not a huge proponent of the one and done. I'm okay now if they just go back to the high school kids getting in and then making college kids stay a couple years if they want to do that. But, you know, I guess this is the upside.
You still have Marquise Chris on this team.
Yeah, that's true.
If that rule was in place,
that's true.
Still have him on this team.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that this would – or Markelle Fultz, you mean?
No.
Oh, Marquise Chris.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you would have had a couple of those guys, you know, that left
Fultz
early.
Would have gone.
Fultz
would have gone pro.
Oh,
you would have never had him at all.
I see what you mean.
Chris would still be here.
Chris would still be here, no question. And so Zion Williamson is just a guy that I'm glad that we can see him in college. And think about how much money, Mike DeCourcy wrote this about the other day, how much money is Zion making by playing at Duke for 1 year versus going straight to the league? Because he would have been on SportsCenter highlights, but he wouldn't have been Zion in the league at the age of 18, 19, as he is in college basketball right now.
Yeah, I think, though, that the argument is that he's making college basketball's benefiting from that superstardom.
Absolutely.
Like you wouldn't believe. And, he's must-watch television these days, even when they're facing a 16 seed, which is what they're going to do later today. And you can listen to all the March Madness action right here on KJR. One good news item for you is that we're done at 9. So,
yeah,
we're done a little early, and we'll hand it over to March Madness action. So be listening right here to Sports Radio 950 KJR. All right, let's talk about day one. Which game stood out to you on day one?
Oh, without question, Auburn, New Mexico State. I mean, it was it was which team can choke worse than the other?
I'm glad you put it that way, because everybody's saying no doubt the best game was Auburn, New Mexico State. I'm like, that was a horrible game. I get that it was tight.
Right, right. But it was it was a train wreck.
Who, I mean, the giving away of that game by both teams.
Yes.
I mean, even to the last shot. I mean, I've always heard, you know, my brother's steeped in basketball, and he's always like, you want to know the difference between a good head coach and a great head coach? A great head coach has one out-of-bounds play when he needs it and can score an easy bucket off of it. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between a good head coach and a great head coach, that he has one play in his pocket that he can pull out and get a great shot whenever he needs it. And New Mexico State settles for an off-balance three-pointer from the corner.
Yeah.
When they have the ball right underneath the basket.
They had the ball right underneath the basket, but, I mean, Auburn even screwed up on that play. I mean, Auburn missed a switch in the corner, and at least the guy got a good look at it. I don't think he even needed to kind of to fade away. But for those that didn't see, it was kind of in the middle of the day. A lot of people probably at work and didn't see what happened. Like, Auburn just crumbled away a, 9, 10, 11-point lead in the last 90 seconds, 2 minutes of the game. And then New Mexico State has got an opportunity to tie the basketball game with a driving layup, and they pass up the driving layup for a kick-out three. They take the three, and I'm like, what are you doing? And then Auburn fouls him on the three. So it, in 1 second, it was a what-are-you-doing New Mexico State becomes a what-are-you-doing Auburn, and then the guy misses two out of three free throws.
And they were rough ones to miss. I mean, they were in and out.
In and out, and then... But then Auburn can't secure a defensive rebound.
Yep. Oh, Auburn did everything
possible
to kick that game.
And they ended up to win by one.
And New Mexico State couldn't take advantage. I thought that was ugly.
It was ugly.
I mean, the way Auburn plays, they had an athletic advantage to a man. And all they do is shoot threes.
Yep.
It's like, really?
Oh, they're going to live by and die by. They're one of those dangerous teams that if they get hot, they can beat just about anybody, but they can also lose to anybody, too.
Ja Morant, the game that was billed as the best game of round number one, Ja Morant versus Marcus Howard of Marquette, and Morant dominated that. Murray State, a 12 seed, advances in that game. Ichiro stole headlines with a one-of-a-kind retirement yesterday. We're going to talk more about that with Dick at 6:45 today. And the NFL has proposed rule changes, most of them centered around replay and how they can improve it. We will talk more about that coming up as well. But next, we'll get to the Huskies. They're back in the dance in Hop's second season. How much credit does he deserve?
Now back to Chuck and Buck on Seattle's original diehard sports station.
Goes on the three-pointer. It's good!
And your home for Westwood One's March Madness and the Final Four.
Got another one.
Sports Radio 950.
Two-handed pound down!
KJR.
Back in the morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR here in the Carter Volkswagen studio. No Bucky Jacobson again today. He's out sick. Dick Fain is filling in on today's program. We've had a lot of fun this week just reaching out to Husky legends, you know, Lincoln Kennedy and Angie Mintink, Christian Roldan, you name it. I mean, well, that's actually not true. But we've had a lot of people come on, and Todd McCulloch yesterday. And make their picks for this week. So it's been a lot of fun.
Lincoln Kennedy, the biggest man that I have ever physically been next to. Yeah. He sat down with Softy and I at a golf tournament. We were doing a show way back when. And he sat down. I still remember. That is the biggest man I have ever stood next to. Unbelievable.
I think mine's Leonard Davis. And I've even stood next to Shaq.
Have you? I stood next to Shaq. But Shaq's tall. I mean, he's big, but he's tall. Lincoln is just... big.
Yeah, like the basketball, like the TV puts weight on NBA players. So when I met Shaq, when I stood next to Shaq when he played for the Suns there briefly, I'm like, oh man, you're a lot thinner.
Yeah.
Than I thought you were going to be. I thought you were just this, like, you know, the thick and everything else. Mm-hmm. But he was actually like lean and athletic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He didn't get soft until the last couple, 3 years of his career. Yeah. Shaq.
So I, when we brought him, to Phoenix, we went down and we took a poster. Rajah Bell, remember the name?
Sure.
Rajah Bell. He once clotheslined Kobe. So we found the photo of Rajah Bell clotheslining Kobe Bryant, blew it up, and had a poster made, and gifted it to Shaq.
I bet he enjoyed that. I bet he liked that.
Oh, he loved it. He was like, oh, man, that's great. Hey, you guys got to see this. And he's like waving over his teammates.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, anyway. Well, welcome in. It's a big day around here, and we have been doing the Husky Bracket Challenge. We've got a few more to do. We don't have a live one. We don't have a live one on the hook right here, but Jermaine Kearse, when he was in studio with Cliff and Terry Blunt earlier this week, played along with our little Husky Bracket Challenge. So this is who he's taking to the Final Four and how far he's got the dogs going. Hello.
I mean, this is going to be a real tough decision right here because I got the Huskies winning the first game, and then I'm a Husky at heart, but I've also been a diehard Tar Heel fan, and they face each other in the second round. But I'm going to pick the Huskies over the Tar Heels. I'm going to get the Huskies. You know what? They're just going to win it all. I feel like Coach Hopkins is just going to.
Right.
Cliff's over there in the background saying right, but he doesn't understand the power of the dog. So I got the Huskies going all the way. I got them playing against Virginia in the Final Four. Cliff, of course, has Purdue going to the Elite Eight. You're right. I got Duke and Gonzaga playing on the other side. I'm going to have to go with the Zags and Huskies in the final. Huskies 68-64.
The Zags and Huskies. How much would you love that?
My head would explode. I'm just like, I wouldn't be able to watch the game. I'd be dead.
If that played out.
I don't really want
that.
That'd
be the best moment of your
sports
life.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that to play out. I don't want that to play out. I want the Husky. You know, I'm a Husky fan. No matter what Dave Softy Mahler says, you know, when he claims that the Zags are my favorite team, I think that would just be,
but
that
you
would be
like
too
the,
weird.
But you like the Zags enough that you don't want them playing the Huskies. That, set the record straight, Fane.
On what?
Like
I root for Gonzaga against every team in America,
right,
except for
the Huskies.
Yes, and I can't wrap my mind around a Husky Gonzaga championship game. That I just couldn't do. But I will say that neither one of those picks, the Huskies going to the title game or Purdue going to the Elite Eight, are very good. I'd probably give Cliff the edge though there on the chances of his team making the Elite Eight a little bit better than the Huskies' chances of making the title.
You know what though? I like it. Sounders Christian Roldan, he picked them to cut down the nets, but I don't think soccer guys really know basketball that well. So that's who he picked. He picked UW to go all the way.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that Jermaine went there.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm going to go there because everybody else has them out in round two against North Carolina, and Angie Mentink, of all people, has them losing to Utah State.
Really?
Yeah. So
I got them getting one. I got them getting through one game.
Yeah. Yeah,
they'll get through one game before they hit the buzzsaw that is North Carolina. But you know, the funny thing is and we should expect it. It's the recency bias that our Seattle sports fans have, and like whatever the last thing our team did, whether it's the Seahawks or the Huskies or whomever, whatever the last thing is our team did, if it's negative, that's who they are, right? If it's positive, then they kind of gloss over it and you know, go to the next week. But if it's negative, it's like, well, if we can't beat the fill in the blank, then there's no way we can beat next week's opponent. I mean, that's just impossible. So, you know, the negativity surrounding the Huskies this today is really, I think, unfounded. I mean, they went 17-4 in Pac-12 play.
Yeah.
And there has been 10 times more time gnashing teeth over the four losses, especially the two to Oregon at the end of the season, than there has been relishing and realizing they won 17 out of 21 games in conferences, which is disappointing to me, I think.
Well, we're going to break down UW and Utah State coming up a little bit later on in the show. I'm going to give my keys and let Dick respond to those at 7 o'clock, and then I want to get his keys at 8:20 today. But what I wanted to spend some time with here, because I think that today, especially this morning leading up to it, there has to be some time spent talking about the moment of getting back. The fact that the Huskies are back in the dance for the first time since 2011, and as you put it at the beginning, you know, there's been too many droughts.
Yeah.
There's been too much, you know, valley, peak, valley, peak. And there's been a little too much of that for Husky basketball. So I wanted to talk about whether or not Mike Hopkins is the guy to end that trend and just discuss what he's done in 2 years. Because as I pointed out on this show, and I'll let you respond to it, I what a unique circumstance for him, Dick, to come into a program and to immediately, your first, the first thing greeting you, and you knew it the moment you took the job, is, I have basically the best recruiting class in school history that I'm going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get those guys. And so let's just flush that down the toilet. So I'm going to lose all of that. Then my second act as king is going to be, I got to go door to door and convince players not to leave.
Right.
You know, I got to take over a bundt cake to the Thibels. And
yes.
I got to tell Matisse and Dad, you know, this is, stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to get things done. And by the way, he's an East Coast guy.
Right.
So these kids don't know Mike Hopkins.
Exactly.
You're an assistant coach. You know? So that's his second act as head coach, is to go around and convince all the guys that were thinking about leaving, because they loved Romar the person so much,
mm-hmm.
that you should stay. And then the third act was, all right, we got to become competitive, because we weren't competitive last year. So I got to take this group that I've inherited, and as we can see now, the cupboard wasn't empty.
No.
There was some talent there,
yeah.
but they weren't winning. They didn't know how to win. And then now we've got to chip away at that. We've got to become a winning basketball team. And so what a mountain to have to climb. I don't know if anybody's, you know, I'm sure they have. I'm sure that there's histories, there are probably 10 examples of this, but I can't remember anybody that stepped in and had to face that.
No, there's no question. And I really thought that had Romar, I was always a Romar proponent.
Yeah.
I thought that with the cupboard that he had, with the Porters, with Dejon Davis, with Jalen Nowell, with, you know, Matisse Thybulle was not even mentioned in those names of the big-time recruits, the Blake Harrises. I mean, I thought that Lorenzo Romar in the 2017 season and the 2018-19 season, had he gotten the opportunity to coach, I'm not going to say that he would have won a Pac-12 championship, but I think Lorenzo Romar would have gotten the Huskies back to the NCAA tournament with that crop of guys, you know, because a couple of those guys aren't even here. And Dejon Davis, yeah. Dejon Davis, a point guard that you never had here the last 2 years. God bless David Crist, but not a point guard. Had to play point guard. Dejon Davis would have been that point guard that you needed. So I will say that I think Romar, short term, would have been able to get back to the tournament.
Well,
long term,
the Porters, oh yeah,
but the Porters, I mean, and Michael would have only been there 1 year,
yeah.
And if he would have been healthy, we don't know. I mean, Jonte probably would have only been here 1 year, so maybe it would have popped last year. But then again, you would have had all these guys back this season. But for the long term health of the program, Mike Hopkins seems to be the right guy. I mean, you know, we had a discussion on the air the other day, and you know, I kind of ruffled some feathers saying, well, I still think Dana Altman's the best coach in the league. And Sophie's like, rah, 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 right? And I was like, well, wait a second. I go, Dave, Dana Altman's going to the Hall of Fame. Mike Hopkins has coached 60 games. How can we anoint Mike Hopkins as the best coach in the Pac-12 after 60 games when Dana Altman, A, is going to the Hall of Fame, and B, has schooled him pretty much every time they've played? So that, I mean, that was my take on that. Now, I'm not saying that 5-10 years from now, we won't look back and say, Mike Hopkins is actually the better coach of the two. That's possible, and I'm leaving that out there. But for right now, I mean, but hey, I'll take the two-time Pac-12 coach of the year and overall probably the second-best coach in the Pac-12 right now as my guy moving forward, absolutely.
Well, I'll go with you on that point. I'm not sure I'd go with you on the Romar point. I think that's... that's why you had to get rid of him. It's like, I don't know if he can get the most out of a team. I think Mike Hopkins in 2 years as a head coach has gotten the most out of his team. And Romar, it's very rare that you end up with the number one pick in the NBA draft on your campus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that just doesn't happen a lot. And
right.
What did they win, 9 games? You know,
yeah.
I mean, you got to get the most out of what you have, and I just don't think that he was there. I think that if you would have kept him, and let's say Michael Porter stays healthy and he stays, you're going to get into the tournament. But I don't think you are going to build that program that mm-hmm. you were talking about at the beginning of the hour, the one that is sustainable.
Right.
And I think that Mike Hopkins is going to build that. I'm actually a little worried about how good his recruiting class might be. I'm a little worried about Stewart, and if he ends up, you know, with a kid from Fetty Way,
mm-hmm.
that they're here one and done, and now you're going down a road that right. I'm not sure is the sustainable platform from which Washington should operate. I think they should take a page out of Gonzaga's book and go for those guys that they can keep around for 2, 3, 4 years and avoid the one and done guys.
Right.
You know, and yet I'm not going to pass up Stewart if that's he wants to play here.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, and Romar got into that same issue with Tony Roten. I mean, there was a thought of, wow, it would look really, really bad if you can't get that. Yeah, you weren't here when Roten was in high school, right? You were. Tony Roten, from the time he was 8, was the thing, right? I mean, we knew the name. I knew the name Tony Roten probably before he got to double digits in age. I mean, that was how big he was going to be. And his hype was built far greater than actually what he was as a basketball player. But Romar was stuck because Romar knew he was going to be a one and done. Wasn't sure really how impactful he was going to be in that first year. But then there was this, well, you have to get Tony Roten. How can the University of Washington lose that guy that goes to school 5 miles from your campus that you've been watching play since he was 8? So it's kind of the same thing. Now, McDaniels at Federal Way doesn't nearly have the hype that Tony Roten had back there, and we don't know anything about Stewart because he comes from the other side of the country. But yeah, it's that balancing act. You get those one and done guys, or does it disrupt what you do when you're trying to build a program? And really, what have one and dones done in college basketball as a team? I mean, Kentucky won one championship in all these years of lottery picks that they have had. Kentucky only won a championship when they had a guy named Anthony Davis, who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah. It's the only year they won a title with those guys.
Well, if you're going to play that game, you have to do it Calipari's way. You've got to bring in 4 or 5
every year.
I mean, Duke did it. They're now, you know, captains of that mm-hmm. industry as yep. well. So if you're going to play that, it's not enough to get one.
Right.
You know, you've got to get 2 or 3 every year in order to make it happen. And I'll tell you, for next year, talk about sustaining something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you can bring those 2 in, of course. You know, what do you need? Let's bring them both in. But Noel needs to stay if you're going to be good.
Well, if you're going to be really good,
yeah.
Noel needs to stay. I mean, I think you can be a tournament team without him. But I don't think you can do anything without him. I mean, he's your veteran leader next year.
Yeah.
He's your guy because you look at all these guys and they'll be talented next year. Plenty of, you know, Quad A is going to be there and Hamir Wright's going to be here. Nas Carter's going to kind of take over as that number one scoring option if Jalen's not there. But if you don't have Jalen, I mean, who's your bell cow guy next year? Are you going to rely on an 18-year-old kid from New York?
Well, they are supposed to be special.
Yeah.
I mean, they're comparing McDaniels to Kevin Durant.
Oh, he's very good. He's very good, and that's what you need.
I think it's just because he's skinny, but yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen him play.
There's a difference. One and duns are created in different packages. I mean, you have your Tony Roten one and duns, and which are most are like that. I mean, most of your one and duns are guys that they go 18th in the draft and they become pretty good, and they and they have a nice little career, and then there's Zion one and duns,
yeah,
and there's Anthony Davis one and duns. You get one of those guys, then look what they can do to your team. Anthony Davis can win a championship. Zion Williamson, I've got him picked to win a championship this year. Who knows if he will or not, but those type of guys can win championships if you only have one.
I guess the point of all of this is, man, I'm just so impressed with what Hop's done in 2 years and the progression that they've shown. And And I get that he's got a senior-laden team, and that always helps. But to get where they are, to be playing in an NCAA tournament game today, to get that contract extension, to be working on a sexy recruiting class that's coming in, whether they're one-and-dones or not, I think he is the right guy. I think Jen Cohen, her magic has happened again. I think she's waved that wand, and she has found the right guy for the program. And, you know, you're going to become Duke of the Northwest? Probably not. But in terms of going through droughts of not making it, not having these moments today where we get to preview a game, I think that Mike Hopkins is going to eliminate a lot
You're not going to be Duke of the Northwest, but can you be Arizona? Can you take over for what? Can you do here in Seattle what Lute Olson did for 25 years in Tucson, Arizona? Why can't you?
Well, you got to cheat.
Well,
you got to give people cards.
Did Lute cheat as much as Sean Miller?
Well, I mean, I can't say either.
For sure.
For sure. But certainly that was the perception. Have you ever been to Tucson, Arizona?
I have. Yeah, I have. I've been on campus a couple times.
There's nobody that even plays basketball in Tucson, Arizona. So how you build a powerhouse in college basketball in that city, I mean, what did you do?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you did, but I know you did something.
Yeah.
There was something that wasn't on the up and up. You built a powerhouse in Tucson, freaking Arizona. That is the equivalent of, I mean, they made a movie about a Jamaican bobsled team.
Yeah.
Imagine if the Jamaican bobsled team was the best bobsled team in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just qualified and then embarrassed themselves in the Olympics.
Lute built a top 10 program in Tucson, Arizona.
Yes, that sustained itself through Sean Miller.
Right.
And I have a feeling he got a few blueprints on how to work it behind the scenes. But yes, to your point, there is no question that Seattle is a place that you can build a program, a special program.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully that's starting right now. I think he's off to a great start. Coming up next, man, that Ichiro, he stole some headlines yesterday. We're going to talk college basketball almost all show long, but I got to get Dick's thoughts on Ichiro's unique goodbye. Sports Radio 950 KJ.
Michael Subaru of Bellevue is determined to ensure that you have a memorable Subaru experience. No matter what Subaru model you're interested in, new or used, we invite you to visit our dealership today for the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Michael's knowledgeable staff is here to answer all your questions and to help you find a Subaru perfectly suited to your needs. We'd welcome the opportunity to get to know you and help you find a vehicle you'll truly love at the Subaru A Lot to Love event. We're just off I-90 in Eastgate or at michaelsubaru.com. Michael Subaru, where it's all of details U.S. only.
Now back to Chuck and Buck on Seattle's original diehard sports station.
Throws up a three-pointer. It's good!
And your home for Westwood One's March Madness and the Final Four.
Got another one.
Sports Radio 950.
Two-handed pound down!
KJR.
Call the one sheet in the radio business. Boy, does it come in handy.
Yes, it does.
Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Dick Fain is here filling in for Bucky Jacobson today. We couldn't be more appreciative because it's like the biggest favor to ask. I mean, next to, could you help me move?
Yeah.
I think asking a guy to get up at 4 a.m. when he's got the day off, when you have a built-in day off.
Yeah, today was a day off today.
Oh, man. I just feel bad. I feel bad that,
that's all right,
that you're here, but I'm glad that you're here. So, again, apologies.
No worries.
Bracket. By the way, how was the loose wheel last night?
Oh, it was awesome. They pack that place. This is the seventh year I've been there in a row since it's been open, and every single time it is just jam-packed. We gave away a trip to Mexico. It was a lot of fun. We're gonna do it again at the Tacoma Loose Wheel next Thursday. So head on down to 6th Ave in Tacoma, and we'll see our friends all down there in T-Town.
And if your bracket, by the way, is already busted, we got another chance for you to start over and win. It's the Busted Bracket Contest for the Sweet 16, so keep this in mind. Log on to sportsradiokjr.com, fill out the Busted Bracket before 4 p.m. next Thursday, and you will be eligible. The busted bracket winner is a pair of tickets to the Hawks 2019 home opener.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty good deal for being a loser.
That'll work for being a loser.
Yeah, for being a big fat loser. All right. Well, I mean, obviously we're talking tournament. And we're going to spend the majority of the time today talking tournament, but that Ichiro, well, he has a way to steal headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a one-of-a-kind celebration yesterday. I was on the air, so I didn't even see the actual festivities and how the media came down on the field. And, you know, I saw Ryan Divish, you know, posting all the photos of it and,
right.
and talking about it, once-in-a-lifetime experience for him as a beat writer. I mean, it was an epic moment. And, you know, Dick, there are parts of it that I think are open to criticism. And we discussed them yesterday. But I will say, especially considering the way it turned out, you won both games.
Mm-hmm.
And Ichiro announces his retirement, so he's not going to fight you on that.
Right.
And you get to come home having had that experience. I saw Ryan Healy tweeting out, like, this is one of those unforgettable moments of my life. What happened here? And so all's well that ends well.
Yes.
With the Ichiro situation. And I guess maybe that's the lesson to be learned. Because despite my criticisms at times, I do think that sports has to acknowledge when there's a special moment there. And I think that the Mariners went out of their way to do that, and they created that, and Ichiro got the send-off of send-offs. I've never seen, I mean, a celebration quite like that. I guess my only issue with it is that it felt a little forced, and you want it to be natural.
Yeah.
To create that kind of a moment, you'd like for it to be natural. You'd like for him to have maybe played last year, and then this year he saw the writing on the
right.
wall. And even if you extended his time with you just so you could have this moment, it would feel a little more natural. But this was like a two-year plan to create this moment for him, and it felt a little forced. But you can't argue with the result. It was magical yesterday.
Well, I'm going to say something that normally doesn't happen. That is, the Mariners came out smelling like a rose in this.
Yeah.
I mean, because I think every one of us cynical Mariner fans would think, okay, paint the picture of what's going to happen. Well, Ichiro's going to boot a ball in the outfield, and it's going to allow the winning run to score, you know, or Ichiro's going to get two at-bats in both games. He's going to go 0 for 4 total. They're going to end up losing 1 to nothing, you know, and we're always going to be able to speculate on, well, did Ichiro in fact cost you one of those two games, if not both of those games? Well, you won them both.
Yeah.
You won them both. He got every bit of the accolades that he deserves, and it worked out well for the Mariners. I'm glad that he announced his retirement right then and there, because I thought that, okay, are we now going to extend this to the Safeco Field opening series?
Right.
And are we going to do an American send-off like we did a Japanese send-off? And thank God that's not going to happen. We don't have to worry about that anymore, because for me, you know, Ichiro, an outstanding player, first ballot Hall of Famer. But for me, I never felt as a Mariner fan like I was able to embrace Ichiro, because I don't feel like Ichiro embraced us. I don't feel like Ichiro embraced the city. I don't feel like, I mean, he just was not a part. I mean, he's the antithesis of Edgar Martinez. Everybody in Seattle, just whether they've met Edgar or not, feels like Edgar is their uncle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Poppy.
It's Poppy. It's Edgar. He's ours. He's Seattle's.
Yeah.
And he's given so much to Seattle, to the community, as well as to the franchise. Now, as you know, as the coach the past couple of years, I just never felt that from Ichiro. And, you know, never wanting to speak English, even though we all know he can speak English, you know, never wanted to talk to the media and share who he was with the fans of Seattle. And so for me, you know, special moment yesterday, but unlike Kikuchi, I didn't shed a tear yesterday.
Yeah. Boy, did you see him?
Oh, yeah, he lost it.
Oh, man.
And which I understand.
And did you see the video where Ichiro came over to him and he couldn't lift his head?
Yeah.
And, I mean, I saw this at spring training. Like, I saw Ichiro come like racing into the complex. And the next thing I see is Kikuchi rounding the corner like a giddy schoolgirl.
Like, can you believe who? And he looked at us like, can you believe who's here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are a grown man.
Such a cool moment.
You're a professional athlete who's, by the way, better at baseball than that guy right now.
Right
at this stage in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And if Kikuchi goes on to have a great career, I mean, what a talking point that is going to be. And how many times are we going to see that on a, you know, a national broadcast of a Mariner game? Hopefully he's still pitching for the Mariners, you know, 10 years from now. Did you know that Yusei Kikuchi's first ever start was Ichiro's last game, and it was in Japan?
Yeah.
I mean, that'll kind of blow people's minds 10 years from now, right?
I'll say this. Through all of it, I mean, it all ended well. I do believe that sometimes you sacrifice some percentages. I mean, I kept thinking yesterday as we were talking about this, like Bo Kimble. I mean, it wasn't actually statistically, the right move to shoot left-handed free throws to honor his, you know, dead teammate,
right,
Hank Gathers. But he did it. And sometimes sports has to step back and allow the golden moment to occur. And I guess baseball's the best arena for this because there are 162 games to play with. And maybe it is good to do that in the first year of a rebuilding project. But the Mariners took on two PR situations this year. They have to deal with two faded legends that they have to handle this year. And I asked Scott Servais about this at spring training, and he said, it's not going to be an issue. Well, the Ichiro thing ended very well. Assuming that Ichiro doesn't come back here and say, hey, and show up in his uniform expecting to hit ninth
right
against the Red Sox next Thursday.
Yeah. How could Felix not end up as an issue?
Well, that's just it. This one's a bear. How are you going to handle this going forward? So we're going to see if Felix is going to be an issue. But the Ichiro thing, yes, there's some room for criticism there. I guarantee you the most relieved person on the planet is Scott Servais, that you won both games and that you're done with it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to deal with it anymore. And you come back home and all you focus on is winning baseball, trying to win baseball games and develop a team that can win for the long term. So, I think it worked out great. Despite all my criticisms and cynicisms and everything else that I just can't let go as a human being for some reason. It all worked out really well for Ichiro, for the Mariners, for Japan, for baseball. Beautiful moment, unique moment for a unique player. All right, coming up next, we'll talk more about the Huskies. We have more Husky bracket challenges to get to in our next hour, so keep it here at Sports Radio 950K.